Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
It was determined I would be preaching on Thursday, and then the part of what do I preach about begins. And as my wife mentioned earlier, the overall theme this year was obedience. And unbeknownst to me at the time, there was just certain things that were kind of happening in me, and some reminders and some adjustments that were being made. And that's eventually what I ended up speaking on down there. And basically what was going on with me is that I had kind of gotten to a point where I had not lost focus, but maybe I had forgotten a little bit about just how temporary this life is, and that the things that we do in this life are really, they matter in comparison to the next life. And it was just an adjustment for me to maybe not, to look more at things in this life with eternity in mind. And so that's kind of how I came up with the theme of what to speak on. And really what has gotten to me is just if you can imagine for a second, we basically have two lives to live. We have this life that we're in currently, but this life is setting us up for eternity. And if you could imagine it like a string of yarn that goes all the way around this sanctuary and then out the door and continues, the very beginning part of that string, this little tiny portion, is this life. It's this 80 years or 70 or 90, whatever we're lucky enough to have. That's the life that we have. But what we do in that little tiny bit affects the rest of that string that goes around, around, and then out the door and keeps going. That's eternity for us. And I believe that the Bible is very clear that we're not called to just make it through this life. We're called to be victorious. We're called to do things in the furtherance of the gospel. And the idea is so that when we get to that second life, that we will be bringing others with us. We are affecting other people with our life in this time here. And I just needed to have that kind of recalibrated, because this life is important. It's short, but it's important, and it's based on, it affects what happens in the future. So the title that I chose for today is Well Done, My Good and Faithful Servant. And the reason I chose that title is just because that truly is my desire to hear that one day. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I came up with 4 points. I'm pretty sure it's written somewhere that every service has to have 4 points. I'm not sure where that's written, but I came up with 4 points. I dwindled it down from 18 to 4. If you stay for second service, since we're not on the time constraint, maybe you'll get all 18. But I did get it down to 4 points today. So if you're taking notes, we do have 4 points today. The first one that I came up with is number one. It says, when God speaks to us, we need to both listen and obey, even if it requires real sacrifice. Now, Joseph, I didn't give you this slide, but I can't start any missions service without talking about the Great Commission. The Great Commission is found in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19, but I will read it for you, even though it won't be up on the screen. It says, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What's really interesting about these two verses to me is there's no qualifier here at all. There's not a therefore go, comma, if you are a pastor and make disciples of all nations, or there's not a therefore go, comma, if you are good at speaking, or any other qualifier. There's no qualifiers in this. This is a command that is given to all Christians. And obviously, you know, if anybody that's here that has made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, that's the most important decision you could ever make, because that guarantees you the second life in eternity, which is incredible. But as Christians, I believe we're also commanded to do certain things. And those commands come in a couple different forms. One of them is in the Word of God. These are His commands to us. When He's speaking to His disciples, He's speaking to us. So when this says, therefore, go and make disciples, He's speaking to us. Now, what does that mean? There's lots of opportunities to be involved with furthering the gospel. It doesn't necessarily have to mean going to a third world country. It can mean sending somebody. It can mean financially supporting somebody. It can mean praying for somebody. But it can also mean, instead of going across the world, it could mean going across the street to your neighbors, to people that you work with, across the hall maybe, across the pod. It could mean a variety of things. There's lots of opportunities here at Lakeshore. You could get involved in food pantry, go hand out food, go hug somebody. It's basically sharing the love of Jesus and pointing people in the direction of Jesus so that they can see Him. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility isn't necessarily to get them to heaven, but our responsibility is to show them that there's a God out there that loves them so much and wants to spend eternity with them. So one of the ways is through the Bible. We have all these commands given to us, and these are things that we ought to attempt to do as Christians. But also, there's lots of times when Jesus will speak specifically to us, okay, when we'll get a word specifically from the Lord for us, specifically for me or for my wife or Pastor Gil or for you. And I want to go to Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 15 to look at one of these stories. And to set it up for you, this took place in Acts, which is after Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's already returned to heaven, and now the disciples are going forth, and the gospel is spreading. And there is a person called Saul of Tarsus who was persecuting the Christians. He was going around persecuting all the Christians. And in this particular story, he was on his way to Damascus for that said purpose, to arrest and persecute the Christians when this takes place. And he has an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Jesus basically asks him why he is persecuting him. And then this is where the story picks up. So if we can start there with verse 10, it says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. That's important. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. It's really interesting in this story how Ananias was real quick to say, here I am, Lord. I don't know if you've ever received a word from the Lord, but in this one, in this story, the Lord's calling to Ananias in a vision. And Ananias does the right things. He says, here I am, Lord. Here I am. But then the Lord asked him, hey, I want you to go. And I want you to pray for this Saul of Tarsus. And you'll notice what Ananias' response is. He said, Lord, I've heard many things about this man. So he heard the Lord speak to him clearly, and he answered, and he basically said, here I am. And then the Lord told him to do something that was difficult. And he said, hey, you know about this man though, right? You know who he is. And he was hesitant. Now, to Ananias' credit, once the Lord encouraged him, he did in fact go. He obeyed. But this is the way it is with us sometimes when the Lord calls us to do something. Sometimes he's going to call us to do things that are difficult. And there's times that we may say, Lord, but we need to obey even if it requires real sacrifice. In my job, I have the opportunity to fly small planes from various locations, primarily on the East Coast. And anytime I do, or normally when I do, I file a flight plan electronically before I get in the plane. And I basically say in my flight plan, look, I want to go from here to Richmond, Virginia, let's say. And to get there, I want to go to these various points getting me to Richmond. And then when I get in the plane, we start the plane up, and I'll call on the radio to the tower, and I'll ask them to pick up my clearance. I'll say, you know, November 332, Sierra Charlie, clearance to Richmond. And I get ready to write, because they always give you a long list of instructions. And sometimes the instructions come back with the exact routing that I asked for, but a lot of times it doesn't. It comes back with a completely different routing. And it's really interesting because they're both getting me to Richmond, but one is going this way, the way I wanted to go, and the other one is going this way, the way that air traffic controllers want me to go. And when I take down the notes and I read it back to them, it's so important. You have to read it back verbatim to them, the routing that they gave you. I understand in my mind that they're giving me another routing, not to be difficult, but they're doing it because of a safety reason for me and for other aircraft that are out there. There might be some kind of traffic avoidance that I'm not aware of, or military training somewhere that I'm not aware of, or weather, but they want me to go this way to get to that point, and I wanted to go this way. And one thing I've never heard in my years of flying, I've never heard a pilot come back and argue with them about the routing. No, you know, I asked for this other route, and that's the way I really want to go, because everybody out there knows that these air traffic controllers, they see the big picture. They see everything, and they know what's best for us and for other aircraft, and so we accept it. And I think it's the same way with the Lord sometimes, that in our life, we have a plan, okay? We have a plan, and we know that we want to do the right thing, and we want to one day be in heaven, and we want to affect other people for heaven, to get to heaven. But with that plan, maybe I have a plan of taking this job or going this way in my life and doing this and doing that to get to that point. But maybe God has a different route that he wants me to take. Taking God's route cannot be underestimated, because he sees the big picture. He sees the big picture. And it might be a sacrifice to go this way, but it's well worth it. In fact, let me show you in this next verse. This is Luke Verse 18, 29 through 30. If you can bring that up. Truly I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. Now, when I first read this verse years ago, I was kind of taken back by it. I was like, wow, is God really going to call me to leave my wife and my family and all those key relationships that I have? And I don't believe that the answer is yes. I believe what Jesus was doing here when he was speaking was he was trying to impress on people and ask them the question, is there any relationship, or is there anything more important than my relationship with you? And I think that's a valid question we all have to ask ourselves. Is there anything that's more important in our life than our relationship with Jesus? And if the answer is yes, then it might need some calibration there. When I was growing up, my parents were missionaries in Bolivia. That's a story in and of itself. But my parents were missionaries. And when I was growing up, you know, we never had a lot of money. We were kind of, I guess, your typical missionaries. We kind of lived hand to mouth, or at least that's how I felt it was at the time. And although I enjoyed my growing up overseas greatly, and I had a lot of benefits from it, there was always one or two things that kind of bugged me and bothered me, and that was one of them. And as I grew up, I believe at some point I made an inner vow. It wasn't a vow that I verbalized. I don't remember verbalizing it, but I for sure made an inner vow that I never wanted to be poor like that. I didn't want to be, and we weren't dirt poor, but we didn't have very much money either. But I made an inner vow at some point in my life where I said, I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be a missionary and be poor like my parents were. Now, what is an inner vow? An inner vow is basically a promise that you make to yourself, whether you make it verbally or not, but it's a promise you make to yourself. And when you do that, basically what you've said is, I'm going to take lordship of this area of my life. Lord, I will give you everything else, but this area of poverty and having money, I'm going to take ownership of that, and I'm going to keep that to myself. I'm not going to let you be Lord of that area of my life. That was an inner vow, and that's what I had done. And years later, I had to repent because of that. I had to say, you know what, Lord, that wasn't right of me. If you call me to be a missionary, you call me to be a missionary. And it was real interesting. I told this, and I did this in the sermon down in Bolivia. And it was interesting that I was telling a story about never wanting to be a missionary. And I was standing in a foreign country preaching as a missionary was. And Pastor Ruben was down there just laughing. He was just giggling about it. But it's what I really like about this verse, if you can put it back up there, is this part where it says, the next part, it says, we'll fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. So even if it's hard, even if it takes real sacrifice, we have a promise here that we're going to receive many more times in this age and in the age to come. We don't even have to wait to get to heaven to receive the benefit of being obedient, the benefit of going this way and not this way. It might be hard. There might be sacrifices. But there's a promise in the Bible that says we are going to receive benefits in this age and in the age to come. Amen? So my question to you is this. When God speaks to us, we both need to listen and obey, even if it requires real sacrifice. My question is this. Are you listening for what God has told you to do, and will you do it? It's simple, but are you listening to what God has told you to do, and will you do it, even if it is difficult? Moving on to point number two, we need to serve others with the gifts that we have received. We need to serve others with the gifts that we have received. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, each one, as a good manager of God's different gifts, must use for the good of others the special gift he has received from God. We've all received gifts. I can easily stand up here and say, well, I don't feel as I'm as gifted as this person or as that person, maybe Pastor Gil, Pastor Brandon, very good speakers. I'm not gifted in this area. I'm not gifted in that. But the Bible says we've all received gifts. We've all received gifts. And it also says that we need to use those gifts to serve others. Satan is very cunning. Satan is very cunning. What he's going to do is he's going to come to you, and he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Those are his three main reasons for coming. And one of the things he's going to try to steal from you is your gift. You have a gift. You might have many gifts. And Satan is going to come and he's going to start whispering in your ear, you're not good enough. This isn't really a gift. There's other people that are better than you to do this. Why? Because he doesn't want you to be obedient. He wants you to sit in a pew every day, and that when you leave this earth, you take nobody with you. He does not want you to be obedient. But the Bible says that we have gifts that have been given to us, and that we are to use those gifts to serve others, not just ourselves. Now, those gifts may serve us. We may have a gift of doing certain kind of job well. Jason Finns comes to mind. Very gifted with money, and he works in the secular world doing that. But he also uses that gift here at the church. Okay, we are called to use our gifts to serve others. It's interesting, that video that we watched just before this, that even like we were talking about, Keisha was talking and Dana was talking about, they have gifts. Keisha has the gifts of these shirts. She's done it several years now, and every year it's a huge impact on the people there. A shirt that she's been able to make, but the heart behind it and the slogan on it, it's meant so much to them. Dana, she's a doctor. They saw almost 400 patients this year. Yeah. But even to people like Keisha and Dana, Satan's whispering, you don't have that much to offer. You're just handing out Tylenol. You can't really change somebody's life. You can't do surgery here. You can't do anything like that. You can only give them vitamins. Satan is going to try to steal your gift so that you don't use it for the glory of God. But we are called to use our gifts so that others can make it to heaven one day. My wife's a perfect example. She has the gift of managing lots and lots of people at our house, including me. And she does it not only so-so. She does it very, very well. She does it very, very well. She could manage a small country if there is one available. But she takes those gifts that she has and she serves others. She serves our family. And then she comes and she serves also here at the church with the gifts that she's given. So I ask you, are there gifts that you have received that you are not using to serve others? Are there gifts that you've received that you are not using to serve others? I heard a quote, and I'm probably going to get it a little bit wrong, but I'll do my best. It says, the gifts that the talents that you have been given are God's gifts to you. The way that you use those talents are your gifts back to God. All right? So think about that for a second. What are the talents that you have been given, and are you using them to serve others? Because that's what we're all called to do. Moving on to number three, point number three. Says, there is more work to be done even if we have failed in the past. There's more work to be done even if we have failed in the past. And the verse is John 17:4 that I'm using. It says, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. This is Jesus speaking to his Father God. And this is ultimately what all of us would like to say one day, isn't it? I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Satan will try to use failures in your past to keep you from doing the work that you are called to do. When I was, again, growing up, I moved around a lot. We were overseas, but every so often we'd come back to the United States and I would start basically new. I'd start in a new place where nobody knew me, new school, new church, new everything. And I can remember always saying, wow, here's my opportunity. Here's my opportunity. These people don't know me. They don't know the failures I've had. But here's my opportunity to have that great witness for the Lord. And I would try to be that perfect witness. And you know what? Every single time I would fail. I would do something that would, I felt like would hurt my witness. You know, they would see the real me. And what I've realized over the years is that Satan will try to use that to keep me from trying. Okay, he doesn't want me to try anymore. He wants to keep reminding me of the failures in my life, and that way I won't continue the work that I've been called to do. But ultimately, we are called to do certain things. We are called to be obedient, and then we let God worry about the results. So if the Lord is calling you to do something that even you failed at in the past, are you going to be obedient? Or are you going to let Satan kind of cheat you out of that and not do what you've been called to do? God is not looking for perfection. He isn't. He's looking for obedience in each one of us. So that's what we're called to do, to be obedient. So I ask you, are there any past failures that are keeping you from doing what God has called you to do? And this is my final point, point number four. There is no returning to the comfortable. And I have John 21:3 that I would like to pull up. This takes place after Jesus has been raised from the dead. The disciples have already seen him twice. This is going to be the third time. But before they see him a third time, now they've already been with him for 3 years in ministry and they've seen all the miracles he's done. They've listened to all his preaching and they've seen him been raised from the dead. They know he's God's son and they're at a place where they just don't know what to do. And this is what they say. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. It's really interesting that after being with Jesus for 3 different years and seeing everything and seeing him be raised from the dead, that they return to what they used to do before. They return to what was familiar to them because they didn't know what to do. And once we received a word from the Lord, we cannot return to what's comfortable. That's why I love the disciples, because if they can mess up, then I can mess up too. But even after they had received the word from the Lord and they knew what to do, they went back to fishing. And I don't have this one. I didn't give this one to you either, Joseph. But I want to continue down in John 21, 15 through 17. It's just continuation from this story. You know the story. They're out fishing, and then Jesus calls to them from the shore, and he says, hey, throw your nets on the other side. And they do it, and they caught all these fish, and they realize it was Jesus. And then they come in, and he says, hey, come on in, bring some of those fish, and let's have breakfast together. But this is what it says in John 21, 15 through 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. He's given them his directive. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Again, telling them what to do, giving them a command. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. This story is so interesting because the disciples went back to what they were comfortable with, and Jesus had to come and remind them one more time. Hey, you know, he's telling Simon Peter here, feed my sheep, take care of my lambs. And he's given him that direction again for Peter to go out. And I guess that's easy for us to fall into as well, especially here in our country where we have so much in possession-wise. We have so much. It's very easy to get comfortable in our life. But if God has called you and called me to do certain things, we need to be obedient. And we need to not go back to what's comfortable to us. Satan wants us to be comfortable. He wants us to be comfortable so that we're ineffective. But we need to stay away from that comfort, and we need to say, you know what, even if it's hard, I'm going to go the way that God called me, and I'm not going back to what's comfortable anymore. So I ask you this. When God speaks, we need to listen and obey, even if it requires real sacrifice. Are you listening to God? Have you heard what he has told you to do, and will you do it? We need to serve others with our gifts. Are there gifts that you've received that you're not using to serve others? There's more work to be done, even if we have failed in the past. Are there past failures that are keeping you from doing what God has called you to do? And there's no returning to the familiar and comfortable. Is the comfort of your current circumstance keeping you from what God has called you to do? This is the word that the Lord gave to me to speak to the Faro del Cielo Church, but it's a word that he really is using to speak to me. This is my life. Just a reminder to kind of tweak some things and remember that this time is short, but what we do matters. And one day we want to be in heaven with other people coming up to us saying, hey, because of what you did, because of your obedience, I'm here. We want to be able to lay that crown down at the feet of Jesus and say, that's all for you. If you'll bow your heads with me, I just want to ask you today, if there's anybody here, just by a show of hands, I'm not going to embarrass you or anything, but if there's anybody here by a show of hands that one of these things is speaking to them and there's a call to obedience, if that's you and you feel like you need to make some adjustments, just lift up your hand real quickly and put it down. Yes. All over the place. You can put them down. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come and bring this word, which is a word from you. Help us to make these adjustments in our lives, Lord, to listen, to hear what you are telling us to do, and to do these things, even if they are difficult and they require real sacrifice, because we know that you have our ultimate good in mind, and that you are seeing eternity, and that there's other people that we need to take with us when we go. Thank you, Lord, for this time. I pray that once we leave this place, that people won't leave this room and let Satan take this word away from them, but it'll keep it in their heart, Lord, and they will come to you and repent if that's needed, Lord, and make the adjustments that need to be done.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.